Okay, so picture this. You're looking at a photo, just a standard developer's desk. It's messy, cables everywhere, maybe a half-drunk coffee sitting way too close to a keyboard.
The classic dev setup.
Exactly. But right in the middle of it all, next to a regular DualSense controller, there's this piece of hardware. It honestly looks less like a console and more like an engine block from a sci-fi ship.
It is
I
massive.
don't just mean big, like the PS5 was big. I mean, you look at the controller for scale, and this thing is e easily, what, 30, maybe 40% larger by volume? And it has this deep, aggressive, V-shaped canyon running straight down the middle.
It's a really striking image. It's the kind of thing that just stops you in your tracks when you're scrolling. But what we're looking at here, it's not just some random plastic case. We are looking at Project Prometheus.
The first real glimpse.
This is the leaked engineering reality of what's going to become the PlayStation 6.
And that is exactly what we are unpacking today. We're doing a deep dive into this leak, which, just be clear, it comes from a developer at Naughty Dog, so it has some serious
It's a
weight,
credible
a
source.
very credible source. And we're pairing that with some engineering manifests from AMD and a whole lot of industry analysis on thermal management. But our mission here isn't just to list off specs. We're not just reading a sheet.
No.
We want to understand what this machine, this monster, tells us about where computing is going. Because looking at it, it feels like the industry is hitting a wall, a physics wall, and the only way forward is just brute force.
That is the perfect way to frame it. This isn't just about, better graphics. This is about a fundamental shift in thermal engineering, in silicon architecture. We're actually seeing a split in the industry on how to deal with the end of Moore's Law.
So what are we talking about then?
We need to talk about heat, a lot of it. We need to talk about light and specifically path tracing. And we need to talk about how AI is basically going to have to fake what the hardware physically can't do.
Okay, let's start with that visual shock, though, that V shape. When I first saw it, I just assumed, it's an ugly dev kit, function over form.
A reasonable assumption.
But looking at the schematics you pulled, that big chasm, it's not just a design choice, is it?
No, it's completely structural. In hardware engineering, especially when you get to these power levels, the airflow dictates the shape of the box. That V-shaped trench is, for all intents and purposes, a wind tunnel.
A wind tunnel.
Yeah, if you compare it to the PS5 dev kit, the cup is so much deeper, much more pronounced. It's designed to funnel a massive column of cool air right into the center of the motherboard.
So the hottest part of the system is right in the middle.
That's where the core is. Based on the size of the chassis and that ventilation, analysts are estimating this system has a thermal design power at TDP of over 350 watts.
350. Wow. Just for context, the original PS5 was what, around 200 watts?
Around 200, yeah. So we're talking about nearly doubling the thermal output. That is hotter than almost any consumer console we've ever seen.
350 watts is. That's high-end PC gaming territory. You're basically running a small hairdryer inside a plastic box.
That's a good way to put it.
And I noticed in the photo, on the sides of the device, there were these tiered exhaust vents. It looks almost like a radiator.
It basically is. The schematics are pointing to Sony moving to a dual vapor chamber cooling solution.
Okay, what's a vapor chamber?
Think of it like a flattened, super efficient heat pipe. It uses phase change cooling liquid, turns into gas, carries heat away, and then condenses back into liquid. It's incredibly efficient, but it's also heavy and expensive.
Which explains the size and probably the cost we'll get to
Oh,
later.
absolutely. The rumor is a multi-die architecture, so the processor isn't one single chip. The heat is spread out, which means it needs cooling from multiple angles. That V shape is really the only way you can get enough cold air to the bottom of that Silicon Canyon fast enough to stop it from throttling.
Kind of funny. This feels like a Sony tradition now, the ugly dev kit phase.
It does, doesn't it?
I remember the PS4 kit, Orbis, looked like a rack server you'd find in a data center.
And it sounded like a jet engine, too.
And then, of course, the PS5 dev kit, the famous V-shaped pizza slice. Everyone online mocked it, said, "There's no way that's real."
And then it turned out that V-shape was absolutely critical for cooling the GDDR6 memory, which runs incredibly hot.
So history's just repeating itself, but with what, double the aggression?
With much higher stakes, the PS4 kit was big because it was prioritizing RAW by 86 power. The PS5 kit had the V because of memory thermals. Seeing Prometheus with an even deeper canyon, it's a signal.
What's it telling us?
It's telling us that for the 10th console generation, heat density is the main villain. They are packing so many transistors into such a small space that the aerodynamics of the plastic shell are now just as important as the chips inside.
So if the box is the lung, let's talk about the heart, the thing making all this heat. The sources all point to AMD's Zen 6 architecture. Now, I follow the PC space, and we're just on Zen 5 now. Zen 6 feels kind of far off.
The codename is apparently Morpheus, and AMD's roadmap puts Zen 6 in mass production around late 2027, early 2028.
Which lines up perfectly with the console launch.
It's a perfect fit. But the real headline isn't just the architecture, it's the manufacturing process. We are looking at a shift to TSMC's 2-nanometer process.
Okay, let's pause on 2 nanometers. We hear these nanometer numbers all the time, 5 nanometer, 3 nanometer, no 2. It usually just means smaller and faster. But does getting down to 2 nanometer actually change anything for the user, or is it just marketing?
Oh, it changes the physics of it. Think of a chip like a huge warehouse, and you're trying to pack workers' transistors inside. Going from 5 nanometer to 2 nanometers is like shrinking your workers so you can fit billions more into the same building.
Right.
But the real goal here is energy efficiency. As you shrink transistors, you usually need less voltage to switch them on and off.
So you get more work done for the same amount of electricity.
In theory, yes. But here's the catch, and this ties right back to our 350-watt number. Usually you'd use that new efficiency to save power.
But Sony's not doing that.
Sony seems to be doing the exact opposite. They're using the efficiency of 2 nanometers to cram so many transistors onto the die that they are still maxing out the power draw. They're spending that entire efficiency budget on raw performance.
So it's more efficient per calculation, but they're just doing way, way more calculations. That makes sense.
Precisely. And you're concentrating all that heat into an even smaller area, which is actually harder to cool. But the payoff is huge. With Zen 6 on 2 nanometers, they're likely sticking to 8 cores and 16 threads, which sounds the same as the PS5 on paper.
But it's not.
But the instructions per clock, the IBC, is rumored to jump by a massive 40%.
40%? That's a generational leap we haven't seen in a long time. We usually get, what, 10, 15%?
It is enormous. And to answer the so what question, right now, big open world games are almost always limited by the CPU, not the graphics card.
Right. Too many NPCs, too much physics.
The CPU just chokes. It's why a game like Grand Theft Auto 6 might struggle to hit a consistent 60 frames per second on current consoles. This 40% IPC jump is designed to completely shatter those bottlenecks. It will allow for simulations we just can't physically run today.
Okay, so we're building a brain that can think 40% faster. But what about the eyes, the graphics? The leak mentioned RDNA 5 or maybe some kind of RDNA 6 light. The number that really jumped out at me was 80 TFLOPs.
80 TFLOPs. It's a staggering number.
Just to put that in perspective for everyone, the base PS5 is around 10. TFLOPs. The new PS5 Pro is pushing about 33.5.
So we're talking about more than double the Pro.
And an 8x jump from the base model, is that right?
Roughly, yeah. It's an absolute monster. But there's a very specific reason for that much raw power. It's not just about sharper textures, it's about a fundamental change in how light is rendered in a game.
You mean ray tracing?
Moving beyond ray tracing to full path tracing.
Gas tracing. Okay, is that just a branding thing, or is the technology really that different?
It's a massive distinction. Think of ray tracing as we have it now, as a sort of hybrid. We still use old school tricks, rasterization, to draw the basic scene. Then we sprinkle in some calculated light rays for nice reflections or soft shadows. It's expensive, mm-hmm. but it's manageable because we're only tracing some of the light.
Okay, so it's like a special effect on top of the old way of doing things.
A good way to think of it, path tracing. That's different. That's what Hollywood uses for CGI. It simulates every single beam of light as it leaves a source, bounces off a wall, picks up the color of that wall, hits a glass of water, refracts, and then finally hits your eye. You're not faking the light anymore.
You're simulating the physics of light.
The physics of photons in real time.
So like the overdrive mode in Cyberpunk 2077 on a high-end PC.
Exactly like that. And if you've seen that running, you know it looks almost unsettlingly real. But calculating all those dounces for every ray of light requires an exponential amount of math.
And that's why they need 80 TFLOPs.
That's it. They are trying to brute force a simulation of reality. And the massive piece of silicon you need for that, well, that explains why the dev kit is the size of a small microwave.
It's incredible to think we're at a point where we stop rendering graphics and just start simulating physics. But here's the problem, and the sources bring this up. Mm-hmm. Even with 80 TFLOPs, if you're trying to run at 8K, or even native 4K with full path tracing, The math just doesn't work.
You're right, it doesn't. Native 8K at 60 FPS with path tracing is, I mean, it's mathematically almost impossible, even with the hardware we're projecting for 2030.
So is the 8K on the box going to be marketing fluff again, like with the PS5?
Not this time, I don't think. This is where the magic trick comes in. The PS6 isn't just a CPU and a GPU. The leak details a dedicated silicon block called an NPU.
A neural processing unit.
Dedicated AI hardware right on the die.
We saw the beginnings of this with PSSR on the PS5 Pro.
We saw the infant version of it. On PS6, PSSR 2.0 is going to be fully grown up. The strategy is this. The console renders the game internally at, say, 1440p, a really manageable resolution. Then the NPU takes that image and basically dreams up the missing pixels to create a perfect 8K output.
Okay, I want to be careful with that word dream.
Yeah.
Is this just fancy upscaling? Just stretching the picture?
No, and that's the crucial part. Old school upscaling is just interpolation. It guesses a pixel's color based on its neighbors. This is generative reconstruction.
Generative.
The AI analyzes the frame, it looks at motion vectors, at textures, and it actually adds detail that was not present in the original low-resolution render.
So if it sees a blurry gray slab, it recognizes that's a brick wall, and it generates the texture of the brick at 8K, even though the GPU never drew it.
Precisely. It is blurring the line between rendering and hallucinating. It uses a model that's been trained on high-res assets to fill in the blanks. It's imagining the detail.
Hallucinating is the perfect word, because that connects directly to where this leak came from. Naughty Dog. Neil Druckmann. The leak claims Naughty Dog is working on something called Project Hallucination.
This is one of the most exciting parts of the whole report. Naughty Dog has always been at the bleeding edge, but the rumor here is that they're building a game where animations aren't pre-recorded.
Wait, what? So no more mocap?
Not exactly. The data is just used differently. Right now, if your character stumbles on a rock, the game plays a stumble animation file. It looks good, but it's a recording.
It's static.
Project Hallucination suggests the character will physically stumble based on the actual terrain geometry using real-time AI physics. Their balance, their weight, their muscles are all simulated.
So they don't trip because the script tells them to. They trip because their digital foot actually caught a polygon and the physics engine calculated the fall.
Yes. It's procedural animation driven by machine learning. It means a character could naturally adjust their footing on any surface, react to any impact, without an animator pre-making every single possibility.
The amount of data for that must be insane.
Which explains the move to GDDR7 memory in the specs.
Right.
GDDR7 is the next leap. It's like upgrading from a garden hose to a fire hose for data. If you're constantly streaming 8K assets and real-time physics models, the memory in the PS5 would just choke. GDDR7 opens the floodgates.
It really feels like Sony is just doubling down on this local monster strategy. Big box, big heat, big chips, all right there in your living room. You own all the power.
Mm-hmm.
But if we pivot for a second, what's the competition doing? Because the whispers about Microsoft's next move sound like the complete opposite philosophy.
It's a true divergence. While Sony is building Prometheus, it's this brute force local machine, Microsoft is reportedly working on Project Next, and the rumors there suggest they are not chasing raw TFLOPs in the box itself.
They're looking back to the cloud.
A hybrid cloud model. The idea is your next Xbox has decent local power, maybe 30 or 40 TFLOPs, but for the really heavy stuff like massive destruction physics or complex AI, the console offloads those tasks to Azure servers.
We've heard that promise before, though. Remember the power of the cloud with Crackdown 3? It didn't really pan out. Latency is always the killer.
And that's still the challenge. But Microsoft is betting that by 2028, internet infrastructure will be good enough to make it seamless. Sony's making the safer but more expensive bet.
Mm-hmm.
Gamers want the best performance without depending on the internet.
Right.
Microsoft is saying the only way to break the silicon ceiling is to use the cloud.
It's a fascinating ideological war.
Huh?
Sony is betting on physics. Microsoft is betting on connectivity.
Yep.
But there is a huge reality check coming for Sony's approach. And it hits right in the wallet. We've talked about 2-nanometer chips, dual vapor chambers, 80 TFLOPs. None of this is cheap.
Not even close. When you look at the bill of materials for a device like this, analysts are getting very nervous. We could be looking at a retail price of $800 to
$1,000. $1,000 for a console. That feels like a psychological barrier that just breaks the whole model.
It does. And the question is, are gamers willing to pay that? Or is Sony going to have to pull a PS3? Remember that launch? They sold those things at a massive loss just to get them into homes.
But can they even afford to do that anymore? The cost of making these chips is so high. If the box costs them $900 to make and they sell it for $600, that's a multi-billion dollar hole on day one.
That's the dilemma. The days of cheap silicon are over. TSMC's 2-nanometer wafers will be the most expensive ever produced. If Sony commits to the spec sheet, they're committing to a premium, enthusiast product.
This might not be a console for everyone.
It might be the home cinema machine.
And what about the release? Based on when dev kits like this usually go out, when could we actually see this thing on shelves?
If these kits are landing on desks now, we are probably looking at holiday 2027 or early 2028. That gives developers about 2 years to figure out what to even do with all this power.
That feels so far away, but also terrifyingly close for game development cycles. What about our libraries, though? Please tell me it's backward compatible.
Oh, good news there. It's 100% backward compatible. Sony sees your digital library as a lock-in. They want you to bring your PS4 and PS5 games forward.
Okay.
In fact, there's a really interesting rumor about older generations. Because the CPU is so powerful, that Zen 6 chip, there are whispers the PS6 might finally be able to do native emulation of the PS3.
Oh, wow. They finally tamed the Cell processor.
It's possible. The Cell architecture was notoriously hard to emulate, but a 40% IPC jump on Zen 6 might just give enough raw overhead to translate that complex code in real time. So, ironically, the most futuristic console could be the best way to play the classics.
That would be a huge selling point for the hardcore fans. A bit of a peace offering for that $1,000 price tag.
It would be the ultimate legacy machine, for sure.
Okay, so we've covered the wind tunnel chassis, the Zen 6 brain, the path tracing eyes, and the AI hallucination. It's a lot.
It is a massive, massive leap.
So let's wrap this up with a verdict. When you look at Project Prometheus as a whole, what's the story it's telling you?
I see a machine that is trying to shatter the limits of rendering by pure brute force. It's expensive, it's huge, and it's going to run hot. But it refuses to compromise. It's trying to completely blur the line between a cinematic movie and a game.
It's a simulation engine.
It's targeting a future where you don't just play a game, you step into a simulation that understands physics and light in a way nothing before it ever has.
And that leads me to the big question I want to leave everyone with today. We're moving into an era where a console could cost $1,000.
Mm.
But maybe more importantly, we're entering an era where half the pixels on your screen are generated by AI. Not rendered from geometry.
Right.
The movement is procedural, not animated. The light is simulated, not faked.
The game part is becoming simulation.
So if the machine is hallucinating the details and simulating the physics, is it still a video game console? Or has it become something else? Have we finally crossed the line into buying dedicated reality engines for our living rooms?
That's the question. And if you can't tell the difference between the image and reality, does it matter that a machine imagined it instead of drew it?
Something to think about while you look at your current reasonably sized console. Thanks for diving in with us on Project Prometheus. We will be watching very closely to see if that V-shape makes it to the final cut.
I'll be keeping an eye on the thermal charts.
Until next time.